ಓಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಜಿ ನಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ.
ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. There's an English saying, where there's life, there's hope. So sometimes we see some of our devotees becoming discouraged. That is the nature of the material energy to take away our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Maya is always trying to take away our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. She may present circumstances as if there's no hope. Everything is finished. This is called Maya. Maya means that which is not. So the opposite of Maya is Krishna consciousness. The opposite of that which is not is that which is. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And He always will be. He's never going to go on strike or resign out of frustration or take a holiday from being God. Krishna never says, these conditioned souls are too much. I'm fried with them all. He never says, I'm going to become a Christian and throw them all into hell forever. Rather, He's always trying to help us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up hope in us. Even if we become the biggest demon, Mayavadi, whatever, He still accompanies us as Paramatma and tries to rectify us. So if we turn to Him, He'll turn to us. Krishna says, Prabhupada explained that if you take one step towards Krishna, He'll take 10 steps towards you. But you have to make a step towards Krishna. If you take a step away from Krishna, that's your own business. Krishna is always ready to accept us. Not only is He ready, but He's always trying to rectify us. He comes personally into this world. He speaks Bhagavad Gita. He tells us to surrender to Him. And promises it that if we do so, He will certainly deliver us from all sinful reaction. He comes again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offers this joyful process of chanting the holy names. He is Himself His holy names. He has manifested as the holy names. Kali Kale Nam Rupe Krishna Apata Nam Hoite Hoi Sharva Jagate Nishta. In this Kali Yuga, Krishna has come in the form of His holy names. And by this chanting, the whole universe can be delivered. But Durdaive Name Amar Nahoile Ruchi. Unfortunately, we have no taste for these names. And therefore, we see everything in darkness. Krishna Surja Shama Maya Hoyondoka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. Krishna is just like the sunlight, and Maya is just like darkness. So if you come out of the sunlight, that means you come into the darkness. But if you want, you can come into the sunlight. If you want, you can be blissful. You surrender to Krishna. If you want, you can be miserable. Surrendered by surrendering to Maya. But then you may become very logical and say, well, I can't surrender to Krishna because of this and that. I want to surrender to Krishna, but, you know, this devotee is no good, and the situation isn't correct, and so many reasons we may have. But Krishna says, surrender to me now. Arjuna told Krishna, I want to be a good devotee. How can I be in the middle of this battlefield? Let me go away and be peaceful and non-violent, and then I'll surrender to you. Krishna said, no, you nonsense, rascal, fool, you have to surrender here. Or how can I be a saintly person in the middle of the battlefield? There's all these bogus people here. You see, they're all supposed to be respectable persons, but Drona and Bhishma, they're fighting on the other side. He could have, in that situation, he could have even blamed Krishna. You see, if you really believe in the right cause, what are you doing just being a chariot driver? Get out your bows and arrows and do something useful. You could have blamed Krishna. Arjuna could have blamed Krishna. Well, if you really believe that this is the right side, what are you doing just being a chariot driver? Get your bows and arrows and do something useful. All this talk, big talk, Bhagavad Gita, why don't you do something useful? Arjuna could have said like that, but he didn't, because he had faith in Krishna. What Krishna is ordaining for us, that is the best possible. And that even if Krishna doesn't fight just by his good wishes, then we will be successful. And even if we're not successful in the fight, well, we'll take that as Krishna's mercy also. It's not that everything we try to do for Krishna will come out nicely. You see, even Prabhupada, he went through so many setbacks. before spreading this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. He was struggling in India. He wrote a whole commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. You can't imagine how much work that is. It was stolen. Then he set up an organization called the League of Devotees. But he had to close it down because the people who were helping him in the beginning, later on, they withdrew their support. Even when Prabhupada was spreading Krishna conscious movement all over the world, there were so many setbacks. Some top leaders who Prabhupada trusted, they left the movement. There were so many crises. Devotees Prabhupada entrusted with projects, they didn't have the determination to carry them on. There were so many setbacks, but Prabhupada remained confident and enthusiastic, knowing that this material world is full of defects, especially in Kali Yuga. But somehow or other we have to push on this Krishna conscious movement. We have to do something to try to help the conditioned souls, just like Hare Krishna Dasi was saying this morning, that we have to do something to help the poor conditioned souls by giving them Prabhupada's books. You see, it's all a matter of consciousness. Someone else could have said, well, you know, the prasadam's late, or it's not according to my taste, or there could be so many things you talk about. But she's coming in and saying, hey, what about all the conditioned souls? Give them Prabhupada's books. See, if you look, you can find so many faults. You don't even have to look. So many problems. But, like I say, Krishna didn't resign from being God. If you have faith in Him, He will help you, despite all difficulties. You have to think how to do something to serve Krishna. Whatever may happen in this world, you can always chant Hare Krishna. You can ask others to also chant Hare Krishna. You want to know how to get free from all your problems? I'll tell you the secret. You do something to try to help others get free from their problems by giving them Krishna consciousness. When you think about it, as devotees, we really don't have problems like the karmis do. And we all have problems. Someone has a pain in their back. Someone, has a kid that's running around wild and everyone's complaining. Financial problem. So many problems. But devotee, they know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me chant Hare Krishna. So whatever his material problems may be, he's got the solution to all the problems, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Now whatever problems we may have, think what problems the karmis have. If you don't know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you've really got a lot of problems. Particularly birth, death, old age and disease, times raised to the power of 10 million. Over and over and over again, suffering in this material world. So we really, devotees, we really don't have any problems compared to the karmis. So if we think how to do something to help others, instead of all the time thinking, how can I help myself? Then we'll find that our problems more or less go away. Then we'll have other problems. If we try to preach, there will be people who try to stop us preaching. So you can't get free from problems. But isn't it better to have the glorious problem of people protesting against our preaching than simply worrying about some itch on the back of our neck or something like this? So if you want to get free from problems, don't even worry about them too much. Whatever problems you have, they're temporary anyway. Whatever problems you have, I guarantee they'll be finished in course of time. For instance, if you have a financial problem, that'll be finished when you die, because you won't need any money at that point. Or if you have a pain in your back, that will also finish when you die. So all these problems will come to an end. Of course, you'll get another body with another set of problems. But if you chant Hare Krishna and preach Krishna consciousness, then you won't have that problem. You'll only go back to Godhead. Try to do something to help others. I heard one devotee, he had some dream. We don't always take dreams very seriously. But, it depends on the dream. Some dreams you can take seriously. I'm going to tell you this dream means I'm taking it seriously. So this devotee, he was complaining to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, in our movement there's this problem and that problem and another problem. So he went on complaining for some time. And then Prabhupada just showed him, it was like a whole panorama of the modern life. There's people performing so many sinful activities. and everybody's suffering and going to hell. So Prabhupada showed this for a few minutes. He turned to that devotee and looked him in the eye and said, just do something to try and help them. In other words, if we're always concerned with this problem and that problem and another problem, means our focus is not correct. Our focus should be how to help others who are not in knowledge of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And try to make others happy by introducing them to Krishna consciousness. Any questions? What was that big box came in? Some big box came in? Prasad. Big box came in? When is that supposed to be distributed? When is that supposed to be distributed?
After the lecture.
After the lecture. Well, that looks as if it's going to take a long time to distribute it. Maybe we should do it after Arati and close the door so no one leaves. Although actually I have a lot of darshan. Anyway, we'll distribute it quickly after Arati. All right, question. Prasanna Rupa, personified happiness. It's supposed to be.
How can we give knowledge to others if we ourselves haven't got complete knowledge?
If you don't have complete knowledge, you give what you know. If you know how to chant Hare Krishna, you can ask others to do it. They'll be benefited.
Ramani Raman. He wanted the same question. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, she was worshipping Jesus Christ, and now she feels that if she stops praying to Jesus Christ, it would be a kind of treason, kind of something like that. So, and what would be her situation at the time of death if she continues to chant Hare Krishna, but at the same time to pray Jesus Christ?
No, Jesus, we accept him as our guru because he sacrificed everything for giving people knowledge of God. If Jesus came today, do you think he would be happy with this Hare Krishna movement? So we have no argument. We have no argument with Jesus Christ. We worship his lotus feet. Now, a lot of what goes on in the name of Jesus Christ, we are not so happy with that. But who Christ is and what he taught, that we worship. Have you read this book, Science of Self-Realization? So it's very nicely explained in there. Prabhupada is explaining about how devotees perceive Jesus Christ. Please, why don't all the men come over this side and make some space here? Leave a space here, let them come. Come this way. Move right, move in.
She has a dog in here. She has a dog in her flat, and she cannot just get rid of it. She feels it would be not very nice. And but she wonders whether it will hamper her spiritual progress in any way.
Well, you chant Hare Krishna, the dog will hear also. But it's better to be more attached to Krishna than to the dog.
You know what she could do? What she is to do with the dog?
Well, if you have a dog, you're supposed to take them for walks and this and that, right? So when you take the dog for a walk, take your japa mala with you and feed the dog prasadam. You never know, you might go back to Godhead before you do. Can I teach the ladies something? I'm a promoter of Indian culture. So as much as possible, we try to introduce these things. Hairstyle. Who's been in India? Hand up. So nowadays in India, they're imitating all the Western hairstyles. But still, most of the women keep the traditional stone. I can't show you. I can't show you very well because I don't have any hair. But it's parted in the middle like this, and plaited.
Plaited
means like. So that's considered to be very chaste.
She said that only a married woman has this parting in between the hair is parted into half. So it means that only a married woman, and this half belongs to her husband, the second half to her family, and she has nothing left to herself. And this bindi is also only for married women. So
yeah, it means they're married. Women are supposed to be married. And then after their husband dies, then they either keep their hair loose, and after the husband dies, they have a white home. This is the culture.
When she's speaking about her relatives, she said that they're attracted to Krishna consciousness, they try to preach it to other people. But themselves, they are very much attached to sense gratification. So what she has to do to somehow?
Oh, the relatives are attached to
sense. Yes, they are inclined to Krishna consciousness. They are favorable, but they are too much attached to sense gratification.
All right. Well, we all were at one point, weren't we? Mm-hmm. We all were attached to sense gratification. So anyway, if people have some interest in Krishna consciousness. I will give you the idea, you have to fan the spark and gradually it will grow up into a flame. You can't expect everyone to give up sense gratification immediately. Whatever interest is there, encourage it. That will, even if they don't take up Krishna consciousness seriously, whatever interest they take in Krishna consciousness is for their eternal benefit. And you never know who's going to take it up very seriously. Someone may take it up seriously after 5 years or 10 years. And sometimes you may be preaching to someone and it seems like they're listening, but they're not. But then someone else, who you didn't even notice, they're listening, and they take it seriously. Many years ago, I had this experience. We were in one man's house. We were trying to enroll him as a life member. So we were preaching to him all evening, and he was listening. But, oh yes, you have so many nice centers all over the world. It's very nice. And after preaching for 2 hours, he absolutely refused to be. He was saying, yes, yes, very nice, but then he absolutely refused to become a life member. There was someone else who was his friend who had just happened to come by, and he didn't even notice it. He was sitting in the corner all evening. He never spoke to him, he never said anything. So after all this, he said, I would like to become a life member. In my own experience, I've had many, many experiences of people I preached to, and initially they didn't seem to show much interest, but later on they took up Krishna consciousness very seriously. You'll be surprised what effect it has on people who are preaching to them. People think about it. Because no one speaks throughout their whole life, no one ever spoke to them in such a way before. So even at the time, if they don't appear to show much interest, afterwards they'll think about it. If someone comes to their apartment selling books about Krishna, I mean, obviously it's going to make some impression on people's minds. It's something, apart from it being culturally different, the very tone of it is so different. It's something that's so serious and philosophical, and this idea of surrendering to Krishna, giving up sense gratification. People never saw anything. So many people all over the world, when they read this book about Prabhupada, they're amazed. Sometimes you hear about saints, you know, and you think of a saint. When you think of a saint, what do you think about? You think about something that lived 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. When you talk about saints, it's almost like talking about some fairy story or something unreal, something from a milieu so remote that it's almost unreal. When you read about Prabhupada, and this is in the modern age, someone who's a completely saint and surrendered to God. Many people all over the world, their lives are changed by reading this book. This life comes from life also. I've seen several cases in different places in the world of people that are just their whole way of thinking is completely changed just by reading this book. All of these books, they're all very positive. I have someone who his life completely changed. He got Queen Kunti, teachings of Queen Kunti. He's read that. He's completely completely materialistic businessman. So have faith, go on preaching. People show some interest, encourage them.
Sometimes when we receive these books, we find people who say that we have already bought some books. And Hinsuda Prabhu in his lecture said that there is such a thing that, which is called the second flow of nectar, when we go and distribute books to those people who already have them. But what should be the qualities of a devotee who does this? How to encourage people to take these books for the second time?
Well, it requires a lot of enthusiasm and conviction on the part. Usually, if people say that, then it means that they're not very enthusiastic to buy another one. So, if your enthusiasm is more than their non enthusiasm, then you can get that. Oh, how wonderful! You're so fortunate. Which book do you have? That one? Oh, and then here you are, you're so fortunate. Here, take that one. Why don't you take another one for your mother-in-law, or your sister's birthday, New Year present? You have to try. You can't always be successful. Not everyone's going to find it. You have to try. Sankirtan Guru Das, Brahmachari. Prashnam Kim, what's your question?
In one of the previous lectures, you said that your mission is to write a book on traditional culture, and and he said that it is known that the duty of a disciple to help his spiritual master's mission. So, in which way can you help it? Do you need to do it?
Well, my mission is to serve Prabhupada's mission. So anything we do to help push on Prabhupada's mission is also part of my mission. We plan to print this book in Russian so we can just help maybe the festivals to distribute this. So anything we do to help push on Prabhupada's mission is also part of my mission. We plan to print this book in Russian so we can just help maybe the festivals to distribute this. We hope to have this book published in Russian at the Seoul Radio Festival next year. So let's see at that time.
He says that when we preach to people, people sometimes say that you have become very proud or arrogant in dealing with people and preaching to them. So you put yourself higher than the rest of the people. So how should we deal with it?
Well, maybe we are. Maybe we are. But anyway, you can say that. You see, in the modern society, they have the idea that everyone's opinion is as good as everybody else's. They don't like anyone saying this is right and that is wrong. They have the idea that it's just up to you. You can think whatever you like is right and what is wrong. So we should say that, look, you know, that there has to be some absolute standard of what is correct and what isn't. Say it's not a matter of being arrogant, it's a matter of understanding the fact. So what do we preach? First, usually we preach we're not the body. So you give the example that the body changes from boyhood to youth to old age. So the body is changing and the mind is changing. So but the person remains the same. So then why should we think that at the time of death that everything is finished? Rather, the fixed principle remains the same, except that it goes through another chain. So this is not a matter of opinion. It's a fact that the body and mind are constantly changing, but the person remains the same. So it's only logical to accept that that when the body goes through the final change of death, that the person, which is independent of the body, changes, remains. It's not a matter of being arrogant, it's just a matter of understanding the facts. If you say like that, they'll say, just see how I they don't want to accept anything. Just an excuse. Otherwise, if you're sincere, you'll accept these other facts. Say, even if you perceive me as being arrogant, why don't you try to understand the spiritual facts which are useful for your development?
No.
Just because you don't know doesn't mean that everybody doesn't know what the real fact of spiritual knowledge is. If the teacher is teaching in the classroom, 2 plus 2 equals 4, the child may say, oh, you're arrogant. So
not a matter of arrogance, it's just a matter of knowing what your friends are presenting.
There's a question. How should you walk out how can you become really humble in respect to our husband, and how we should develop a real humbleness, not artificial?
Read it. Develop, you act like that. Why only in relation to the husband? Why should be humble in relation to everyone? You have to practice amanina, manade, not desiring respect yourself, but to be respectful to him. So if you want to be like that, then you practice acting like that, and you gradually overcome it. If there's a quality you want to develop, you look to see who has that quality more, and you see how they behave with others. And then you try to implement that in your own life. I did this myself at some point in time. For many years I was working under the guidance of the Abolitionist Army in Bangladesh, Burma, Thailand, and all these things. So I used to be very rough in my dealings with others. I'm not saying I'm not rough now, but I used to be very rough. So I saw that Prabhupada, she was quite the opposite. He was very good at dealing with smooth. So at one point I asked him about this, he's like that. He said that in his early, after being in the room in a short time, he experienced that just dealing roughly with people, it just doesn't work. They become resentful to you. You can't force them to engage in service. It just makes bad feelings. So he told me that from that time he tried to deal with everyone in such a way that they feel happy to do their service rather than just to push them into doing something because you want to. So I tried to follow his example. I'm not saying I've been very successful, but believe me, I think I'm better than I used to. So if you see a good quality in others, if there's a good quality you want to develop, look for that in others, see who has that quality, and try and model yourself on that person. You talk about artificial humility, well, that's just a focus. Real humility is a quality of the soul in pure state.
Could you elaborate on Bhakta Lisha Prabhupada? Because there is an opinion that this program will help people to read Srila Prabhupada's books.
Isn't that wonderful? That people are encouraged to read Prabhupada's books. They read Prabhupada's books and then they're going to follow Prabhupada's books. If they follow Prabhupada's books, then they'll want to distribute more books. So it's all auspicious. It's a method of organizing preaching.
And could you explain this method?
To tell you the truth, I don't know all the details inside out. I read the manual, but I can't remember.
It's not a question.
In January, they will have a regional council in Tariyaki, and they will discuss the probabilities and project perspectives of development of the Rishi program. She thinks it will be implemented in the region.
It's very important in this country, especially where so many congregational members are coming. And our Krishna consciousness spread to every town, every village, every home, and every heart. Every home and every heart means in every home there are not only human beings, even the dogs and cats are there.
What did you do?
And then Krishna said, then you should meditate on my name. And so,
Krishna says that in reply to that, Krishna agrees. He says, undoubtedly the mind is difficult to control, but it can be by practice and detachment. In maybe that in his commentary Prabhupada says that that can be done in modern age by chanting the holy name, but in the original Bhagavad Gita we offer that. It's not incorrect, but at the same time we should be careful to differentiate between what Krishna actually says and how Acharya has explained it. So it's a fact that, yes, if we are taught to control the mind of the mind in the modern age, we should chant Hare Krishna.
It says that the reactions for some offenses may continue to be in effect even up to the stage of the hour. So how can it be if we take into consideration the power of chanting the holy name?
I'll chant the holy name, but the holy name is doesn't annul you from the effect of offenses to Vaishnavas. If you're making offenses to the holy name, then the holy name won't manifest.